I want to read from the revelation of St. John the Divine, as it is so beautifully stated. The very last writing that is in your Bible and my Bible is the Revelation. And beginning at chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to read through the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Very significant verse there, and that links back to verse 2 also. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. You've never heard a voice like this voice. When this voice speaks with full volume and majesty, it's not just another happening. A great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of God, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, I know I've read 20 verses, and I really don't like to read that much because sometimes we kind of get lost in the journey, but I don't believe you have tonight, because I believe with all of my heart that the Spirit of God has drawn my attention to this portion of God's Word, because there is a great purpose. I'm going to try to just give you an oversight. We've already given you many insights in the beginning of our journey through this first part of Revelation. But I want to title our message, God's Good News Now. You pick up the newspaper and it's talking about Texas lagging far behind in education and health care. Well, you know, I've come to the place to where, you know, unless you understand that everyone doesn't tell the truth, they'll have you in a padded cell somewhere. Anybody can say or write anything. Anybody could say anything about me or about you, and it may be the furthest thing from the truth, but it was said. And so you hear that, and then, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that we've been hit in our pocketbooks. When I say that, I mean as far as retirement. I was on a plane with the president of a college in Missouri, very fine Christian man. And he told me of how many million they had in endowment in that college. And he said the stock market really hurt us. He said, thankfully, everything was paid for. And he said, we're on the upswing now. And he said, we'll make it. And he said, if it had continued, we would have had to have drastically changed some things. And they're a very solvent, conservative, you know, realistic people. So, and I know even over in Uganda, we have felt effect, because what happens in America goes all over the world. You can criticize America, but what happens here has a vital effect on America. You look at education, you look at politics. Our nation really needs, we pray for our nation. I believe I'm on a trail of how to pray for our nation. I've really been firing blanks in my spirit. I'm praying, but just like maybe I wasn't right on course. We need to start asking God for righteousness to rule and reign from the White House to every house. I mean, that's on the national level, on the state level. We need to pray for righteousness to rule and to reign. And I really feel like that's a leading of God, because no matter what political party may be in office, we need to pray for righteousness to prevail in this nation from the White House to every house. I am an American, and I'm proud of my nation, righteously proud, not sinfully proud, but righteously proud. And I thank God that I have the privilege of living in this nation. And if I didn't like this nation, I'd go where it's better than this nation and do that. But here's the thing that's in my heart, folks. We're going to have to really buckle down. Now, I mean, we're not begging God, but I mean speaking the word of God, speaking righteousness. Every time you see something wrong in the newspaper, start speaking what is right, the counterpart to that. You see what I mean? And whatever the news media is saying, you can usually reverse it, and you know how to pray. But we need some good news. Americans have needed some good news this week, today, and in the days to come. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to everyone. And, you know, the Bible is just full of Jerusalem and of Israel. It's just full of it. And, you know, there's some very strong things that God has said. You don't touch Israel. Not for long, you don't. I didn't realize, but Joy just turned off the stovetop, and I walked into the kitchen. Was it Monday, I believe it was? And just, you know, I put something down and just put my... I moved quick, because it wasn't red hot, but it was hot enough. And then I went to get me a cube of ice and go to work putting some cold ice on that part of my body. I moved quick. I detected my hand should not stay there. I detected my finger should not continue in its present position. And I believe that the Spirit of God speaking to Christians and to believers all over America to pray for our nation as never before. Let's get into this good news. You ready for some good news tonight? No matter what is happening in the political world, no matter what is happening in the educational world, no matter what is happening in the financial world, we may not like it, we may be affected by it. I want to give you the good news of God's Word. Revelation, contrary to what many people believe, is not the revelation of the Antichrist, though he gets unworthy mention briefly. But revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I said revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Have you ever noticed that movies, they thrive on the sinister, they thrive on the dark, the shadows, the flickering candle, you know, it's just weird stuff that people seem to get off on, the gothic stuff, and I'm talking about the extremity in that area. You know, John was so well known in the New Testament era that they just called him John. I mean, when you said John, there was just one outstanding John. I know there were other Johns, but, you know, it's like he was such an authority. He was anointed. He was a man with proven character and revelation in his life. But the Word of God goes on to say that revelation gives us things which must shortly come to pass. Folks, wake up. Jesus is coming soon. And there are things which must come to pass for him to return. And in some ways, it's going to have to get worse before it gets better. But I want it to stay livable until I'm out of here. And you do too, right? You know, we want the best circumstances possible, the best climate possible for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Things which must, did you notice that? Things which must shortly come to pass. You see, what we're experiencing is apostasy and revival. David Barton on TBN the other night, he has statistics to show that it's not all going to hell in a handbasket. There are many signs and pockets of spiritual awakening in our nation. And a lot of it may be different than what we would expect to see. But I mean, in questionnaires and in youth and college campuses, I know all the news media gives you is the sin side of it, but I'm telling you, a fire is burning in the United States of America right now. I don't care what the devil says, there's a fire. There's a fire of revival and refreshing and renewal that is burning in the United States of America. Not all you want to see and not all I want to see. But I thank God for the cloud the size of a man's hand. Don't you pull down the window shade and say it's all over. It's not all over because we're still here. It's not over. And there's plenty of salt. You think of Sodom and Gomorrah. What was the estimated population of that city? Brother Mark, do you remember in some of your studies? Sodom and Gomorrah. Twin cities. Maybe 200,000, huh? Maybe, let me just say that, something like that, twin cities. But you know, when God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to destroy those cities because of sin, and he did, ultimately, Abraham began to intercede. Remember, he started with 50, and when he finished his intercession, he stopped at 10. If there had only been 10 righteous people, if there had only, I mean, just look around tonight, but if there had only been 10 righteous people, Sodom and Gomorrah could have been spared. It's important to be salt. And by the grace of God, I want to be salt here every day. So there's apostasy, yes, and there's revival. There's Mideast conflict, people just reveal their biblical ignorance when they beat up on Israel. They're not perfect. They'll frustrate you, but God said that he would bless those that bless them and curse those that curse them. Is he not going to bless? God will bless anyone who loves him and serves him and put their trust in him. I don't care what the color of your skin is or where you come from or whatever. God blesses people that reach out to God. But God said to Abraham, I will bless those that bless thee and I'll curse those that curse thee. And you know, even back in Genesis, I'm not going back to the verse tonight, but the Word of God says very plainly that he will be a wild man. You remember the two brothers? There's one or two verses there that give you hundreds of thousands of years of history. We're looking at the wild man, Does God love them? Yes, He does. Will God save them? Oh, yes, He will. Such ministers as Benny Hinn. Benny comes, though he was raised in Israel. His background is that, yet this man has met Jesus. And I've watched him go toe-to-toe and heel-to-heel for Israel time and time and time again. Not only on the platform in his services, but on television. And you know, he's got it right on Israel. And God's helped him and blessed him and brought him a long way. So you see, there'll be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. United Nations is a joke. They're not united. You know what all nations overseas call them? The United Nothing. U-N. I didn't say that. I learned that in travel. The United Nothing. They ride around in their white cars with a big rhinoceros aerial on the front. And you'd think God came to town. And they don't solve anything. Things must shortly come to pass. The United Nations, United States of America, all the Arab nations, Israel, no one is going to stop the things that are shortly going to come to pass. God's word will come to pass. You can count on it. Now, this message was sent supernaturally unto John. And there were three things. I noticed another thing. Every time I read this chapter, I've lost track of how many times I've read it just in the last 2 or 3 weeks. If you'll notice here, the Bible said the things, the testimony of Jesus Christ, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. I mean, God gave him a private, premier showing of things to come. And so the record that we have in Revelation is the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. And that links up with the latter part of verse 9. Now the Bible said, notice this, verse 3, blessed are those that read. You say, I don't understand everything in Revelation. I don't either. I mean, I know there's different ideas and different theories, but it's pretty hard to go wrong right on through the seven churches. And the whole thing is true. And the way it ends up is such a glorious revelation. The city where the Lamb is the light. Oh my. God wiping away all tears. I mean, there's no sorrow, no sadness in heaven tonight. Everybody's happy up there. Everybody. Oh, as Brother Carlton Sanders said before he passed away, he said, one day it will be Sunday every day. And if you love Sunday, you know what he was saying. There'll be a day when every day will be Sunday. And that's eternally in the presence of God. But blessed is he. Now folks, I'm into whatever God blesses. I mean, I want to be cooperative with that. Blessed is he. Just reading it. Just reading it. Just reading it. Also hearing it. So if you have a copy of God's word, you have read that, you're hearing that. And the Bible goes on to say, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. If the word says then, the time is at hand, we're not in the last days. We are in the last of the last of the last days. And I've, as a pastor, reports come in, and a lot of good reports come in. Some strange things happen in people's lives. It's just like there's an extra goofy demon that's running around trying to discourage the body of Christ. If you're discouraged tonight, I'm telling you, you're under the influence of the evil one in some way. Discouragement is not the will of God. Said, but you don't know what I've been facing. I know. We all have our own whatever. But I'm telling you, saints, God brought you to this house for this service to tell you, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. God hasn't hung a sign on the door, out of business or in bankruptcy or whatever. Blessed are they that read, hear, and do what they understand to do, and the time is near. And also went on to say grace and peace. Grace and peace. Two great end time forces. Two great end time forces. Grace. God's willingness to give us his best even though we don't deserve it. and peace? How in the world do you live without peace? How in the world do you face, you know, the irregularities and the negatives of life? Unless you have the peace of God that passes all understanding, which guards your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. How do we keep it together when it seems like everything's folding around us? Because we have grace and peace. We have the peace of God. I said we have the peace of God. And I'm telling you, God's not shook up about anything. God's not, His hand's not trembling about anything. Praise God. Grace and peace be unto you, the Word of God says, from Him. Now here's something I want to, here's the truth, and I don't know how far we'll get into this portion of God's Word, but you know, I didn't see this when I was really dwelling on it before. I mean, I saw that He was, and I glory in that. Thank God. I saw that He will be, and He will be throughout eternity. Thank God. He's eternal. I said He's eternal. But saints, I want us to really get a grip on this. God is. My father-in-law, who was a great preacher of the Word of God, Joe's father, he used to say, you know, we major on a great God in the past, and we major on a great God in the sweet by and by, but oh, God help us in the now. Let me tell you, God is big enough for your now. God is bigger than your now. He's not only a God of the past, He's not only a God eternally of the future, but God is. God is, and He is the ultimate almighty. No dictator, no czar, no president, no politician is greater than our God. Hold on to that. Let me just give you one that's meant a lot to me. Do you know, you look at Ahab and Jezebel and you think, man, will they ever go away? I mean, Jezebel was a mean, mad woman. Ooh, she was mean. She was mad. And Ahab, he didn't have enough backbone to be mad. All he could say was, yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. But the sad thing about it, Ahab did things that grieved the heart of God. I may not be all I should be in everything in my life, but let me tell you something. I'm not knowingly going to major on something that I know displeases God. Pick a fight with anybody, but don't pick a fight with God. I know He's a God of mercy. I know He's a God of grace. And I know He loves us. And I know He's going to work with us until we get it right. But don't pick a fight with God. And if God says, don't do it. Do you remember the man that you're not to touch the ark? And he thought he was going to help God out. The whole church is going under unless I steady it, you know. I had a Baptist deacon said he was the devil's advocate in his church. I said, take the advocate out of it and you've got yourself located. Excuse me. But the ark, God knows how many times it looked like the ark was going to fall. How many times the church would never make it through the dark ages? How many times on the mission field or in America or in your life, whatever, it looked like the ark of God would not make it? And he said, I've got to help God. You don't, God doesn't need your help. All God wants is your faith and your obedience. And he reached out to steady the ark and he dropped dead. Because you don't touch what God says don't touch. You don't touch it. Don't touch it. I'm telling you, God's ark is going to make it. God's church is going to make it. I said God's church is going to make it. The true church is going to make it. I said the true New Testament church is going to make it. I believe in the church. Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church. That's the church I want to belong to, His church. I want you to just write this down. God is bigger than my now. You know, God is. God is. He's a faithful witness. And He washed us from our sins. Now that's an interesting insight. He has already washed us from our sins in His own blood. You know, as a young convert, I kept confessing things that were already forgiven. things get a little tight, things kind of go negative, oh God, and I'd go back and run my memory bank, and oh my Lord, how many times did I run that trail of going back to some way I failed God 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 2 months ago, you know, until I found out, yes, you do clean the slate, and yes, you do humble your heart, because God, even in this word, said there's a time for every believer to repent. There's a time to take spiritual inventory. There really is. But oh, thank God, my sins are under the blood of Jesus. I said my sins are under the blood of Jesus. And the Bible said in 1 John, he that says he has no sin lies. He lies, and the truth's not in him. And the Bible said, but this is written to believers. You know, if I had not obtained an understanding of this portion of God's word, I don't think I could have handled it. I couldn't handle me. Didn't know what to do with me. But the Bible said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then it goes on to talk about walk. Well, I'm already referred to it. I've got to finish at least this part of it, because you need to hear. If we confess here in 1 John verse chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But you know, the Bible said, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is, oh, there it is. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, he is the light. I said he is the light. We have fellowship one with another. Now, some people said that's just believers. That means we all get along. Well, that's good. We're to love one another. But you know, thank God for fellowship with Jesus. If we walk in his light, he is the light. And as we walk arm in arm with Jesus, oh, I'm saying something, folks. I'm saying something. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm going to make a statement. I don't have time to develop it any further. It's possible to walk in perpetual cleansing. In fact, I claim that. Every once in a while, my train gets off track a little bit, but I get it right back. It's possible to walk in perpetual cleansing. I mean, you can't walk any better than walking with Jesus. You can't fly any better than flying with Jesus. You can't live any better than living with Jesus, right? And I know we have things to deal with in life, but folks, this is so practical. The Bible said that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. You know, in society and in the news media, we've been lied to so many times to where you get a little gun shy of everything. If they say there's a forest fire and they show you the picture, hey, yeah, there's a forest fire. And you have some reasonable proof of that. But I mean, just for someone to editorialize on their favorite whatever doctrine or their favorite truth may be, we've been lied to so much in the United States of America. The day of truth has fallen in the streets. And you know, it's important that we not lie, that we tell the truth. It's important. The first time, when it doesn't seem to make any difference, just tell the truth. Because that's God's way. But God's Son, Jesus, listen to me. He is the faithful witness. He's never told a lie. Not one lie in that book. Every word is a pure word, as silver is purified 7 times. I tell you, God cannot lie. Jesus cannot lie. In fact, he said, I lie not. People may have lied to us, a husband or a wife or a child, or politicians may have lied to us, but oh, get a smile on your face and let the shout of God be in your spirit. Jesus never fails, but Jesus never lies. Never. Never lies. He's the first begotten of the dead, the prince. He is the prince. And in verse 7, this thing is just so in my spirit. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. It's interesting. Sometimes you remember things that have been said through the years. I know Joe's dad, he was talking about when he first was born again, he was working at Swift or Armour, one of these packing plants over there, and said there was a man that was in a church. You know, he wasn't loud and vocal. I mean, he just was kind of one of the quiet, regular people. But said when he had worked doing whatever he was doing, he'd always stay close to a window. And he's always looking up. And one day, someone had the courage to call him by name and say, "Why do you stay by that window and why do you keep looking up?" He said, "I just wonder if on the next cloud Jesus is coming." I just wonder if that next cloud might be his coming. Hallelujah. So I just want to be looking for it. You say that's extreme. We need some extreme folks nowadays. We need some people that are looking for his appearing. Behold, he cometh. What's the answer to all the craziness of our world today? There'll never be peace until the Prince of Peace comes. But the answer is, he cometh. He cometh. Behold, he cometh, and he comes with clouds. And every eye shall see him. Can you imagine how awesome that's going to be? And those that pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. You know, people can say what they want to about the Bible and about Jesus and about the church. Let me tell you something, friend. 1 second after you draw your last breath, you'll know the truth about eternity. You'll know the truth about the Word of God. You'll know the truth about the whole plan of God. I mean, there'll be no yeah, no debate. There'll be no profanity. There'll be no GDs. The moment you pass from this life, instantly, you know the truth. And of course, the thing is, we were in the memorial service just a few hours ago. Thank God when you can stand up and not have to stutter and say that someone was ready to meet Jesus. Now, I'm not the judge, and I often say to myself and to those that work with me, we don't know the last minutes, the last seconds. Don't get me wrong. But you know, it's so wonderful when you have that assurance. Just when you have that assurance that everything was sky blue and that their heart was toward God. Behold, he cometh. And then he goes on in verse 8, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Do you understand what this means? If you had any frustration this week, if you had any letdown, I mean, is something not gone like you wanted it to go? He is bigger than whatever you faced. He is. I said he is. Don't focus on what isn't. Focus on he is. And see, what he is bigger than anything else that seems to be is in your life. And I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. I was in the isle that is called Patmos. Now, I have ministered a few services that go along this line, but I want to bring it to you again. The fact that there is a purpose for your Patmos. And it's up to you whether it's a negative, and the rest of your life you say, look what happened to me, and I would have been successful, or I would have been rich, or I would have been famous if I'd not had disappointment or divorce or, discouragement or whatever. But look at the Word of God. Oh, thank God. Oh, get this in your spirit. John was put in prison. I know the Isle of Patmos. He wasn't behind bars per se. I don't think so, but he was on the Isle of Patmos, and you're not going anywhere from there. I mean, he was there probably with a life sentence, and he only served about 2 years of it, because when he accomplished what God had him there for, then he was back with the believers. So maybe when we accomplish what God has for us to accomplish, we'll get off this rock pile. How many connect with me on that? I mean, stop just letting every moment be a living moment of frustration about this rock pile I'm on. Begin to shout and praise God and thank God that you're in the right place at the right time. And ask God to reveal to you, or to reveal through you, the purpose for your being there. John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he knew why he was there. The latter part of verse 9, of course, ties back into verse 2. In the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What are you suffering for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ? It's an old, old story. I haven't heard it in a long time, about the young man that went to work in the mines, and everyone warned him, they cuss, and, these people are sinful, and, they drink a lot, and the mines is a hard place. and he was going to go there for a few months and work, and that you hold on, that, you know, that you. And when he got back, they said, "Well, how did it go?" He said, "It was wonderful. No one even knew I was a Christian." Now, there's a truth. You see, he thought victory was no one finding out he was a Christian when God sent him there to make a difference in the minds. God has sent us into this world to make a difference. Whether it's a Shell station or Sheraton Hotel or wherever we may go, God's put us in this world to make a difference. He was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he did something that's so important for us to do. You know, we come to church, and I remember years ago, bless his heart, he never really made it in the ministry. His wife sat in the choir and filed her nails while he preached. I never will forget that as a young boy. I thought, why is she up there filing her nails? She looked like she was just bored, stiff. Bless his heart. Man had a hard time preaching. And finally something happened and the man went on and finally got the victory and without her and went forward. But I'm a young boy. I've said, you know, I've never seen a woman sit up in the choir and file her nails, you know. I thought, that doesn't seem right. That just doesn't seem like the thing to do. That her husband's up there preaching his heart out and she's up there filing her nails. Well, you know what we need to... John, on the Lord's day, was in the Spirit. And regardless of what is happening to you, you can be in the Spirit. You can face it in the Spirit. I said you can face it in the Spirit. You can praise the Lord. And you should praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Go through the Psalms again and again and again. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. God wants us to rejoice regardless of what our circumstances may be. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now see, if John was having a pity party and he's mad at God, he said, well, another day on the rock pile, you know. Just another day. I served God and I sacrificed and I preached and I was faithful to God. Look what happened to me. But oh, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Driving down the freeway the other day and I flipped on some news. And boy, it didn't take but about 2 minutes of that. And I said, boop. And I began to praise the Lord. I began to praise the Lord. I just began to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to let that news steal my victory. I'm not going to let that negativism get in my spirit. Hallelujah. You can praise the Lord on the freeway. You can praise the Lord wherever you might be. I was in the Spirit of the Lord today and heard behind me a great voice. You know, you stay in the Spirit, he's going to communicate with you. I said, yeah, that's why I always take a legal pad when I pray. I always like to take a legal pad in my Bible when I pray, because you talk to God, you talk to him long enough, he's going to talk to you if you'll hush. You know, God will talk to you if you talk. That's just been something that I've done for years. Always keep a legal pad, something that you can write the things that God is saying. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write. And again, it's been several years, but I mean, I said, you know, you got the... Your church is, of course, he didn't come back again, but he said, boy, this church is very unusual. He said, your people all bring their Bibles. I said, yeah. Yeah. I said, that's what, you know, this church is built on the Word of God. And he said, they take notes. They take notes. I said, well, don't they do that everywhere you go? It's getting quiet. You know, sometimes, I mean, when it's time to say amen, I'm busy taking a note. And of course, you know, you have to watch these preachers. You answer their questions. If you answer it wrong, you're in trouble. So I've learned sometimes it's just best to say, yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, brother. Yes, brother. I believe in panology. Everything's going to pan out all right. I remember Fred Price, man. He's a dangerous one to answer a question for. I mean, he'll nail you, boy. Amen. I remember Jack Hall, Baptists up in heaven, and you just didn't stand up and try to answer a question from that man, you'd be in trouble. You better just be quiet and find out what he's going to say about it. And he'll explain. Well, be that as it may, it's all right to answer. Just be sure you know where you're going when you do. Amen. But I just, as I looked at this, in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and he said, write! You need to write down what God says. You know, one word from God can change your life. And then it goes down. You know, have you ever just thought about the Lord? Going down to verse 14, we heard that loud voice. You'll never forget that voice. I don't think any of us have heard it in its intensity yet, as it we will hear it. Verse 14 said, his head. I'm tired of the head of the world. I want to see the head of God. You understand what I'm saying? His hairs, white as snow. His eyes, you look into those eyes and it's like a flame of fire. His eyes. You know, the eyes say so much about us. Interrogators say they can tell by the eyes whether a person is lying or telling the truth. Usually, his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet, like unto fine brass, and they burned as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was the voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. And his mouth. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. I tell you, this word will work for everything in your life. It's not just sharp on one side. It's a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Driving to church tonight, coming from our side of town, I mean, the sun can be at a certain angle. Honest to goodness, I've oftentimes been blinded just for a moment. I mean, I can't really see. It's just like for just a moment, you just say, help me, Jesus. Because the brightness of the sun. Can you imagine? I can't even drive from my house here. I can't look into that sun. I need a visor. I need some sunglasses. I need my hand up. As the sun. Oh, I'll tell you, the devil is the demon of darkness, but God is the angel of light. Light! Not darkness, but light! And you know what he said? He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I've heard a lot of little cute ditties about what people did when they saw the Lord. Listen. No, when you really see the Lord, you drop at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. No matter what you're facing right now, believer, fear not. Fear not. I am the first and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death. Of hell and of death. Write the things that you've seen. Well, I don't know about you, but this just encourages me. This is the good news of the Lord. Behold, he cometh. Check him out. Bright. Full of truth. Never tells a lie. Doesn't even give a hint of a lie. He doesn't misrepresent anything. I mean, we live in a society that says, yeah, he said that, but what does he really mean? Yeah, they advertise this, but what do they really mean? And if you watch the commercials on football specials, you think the world's lost its sanity. I mean, where do they get those ideas? And I mean, I'm trying to follow, and I think I have reasonable intelligence, but sometimes I get lost in the shuffle. And I'll even wind up with a French fry and a Happy Meal. I'm telling you, there's so much going on. Let me tell you, no matter what's going on in your life tonight, listen to me carefully. The only thing that really makes sense is God. The only person that truly makes, I hope I make sense, but the one who truly makes sense is God. The one that you can count on every time is God. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to steal from you. He's not going to misrepresent something to you. He's not going to defraud you. He's not a con artist. He's not a liar. He's not a bait and switch master. I tell you, God tells the truth every time, the first time, all the time. He's the faithful witness.